we talked a little about what's going on relative to the press conference with the president yesterday. So let's do this. Let's go to the newsmaker line, talk to the 3rd District Congressman directly. Congressman Banks, good afternoon, sir. Did President Biden perform as you thought he would, as well as you thought he would, or not nearly as well as you thought he could?
That's a tough question, Pat. I mean, it wasn't a surprise. It was another really bad effort by this president to go out and unite the country after a year in office and talk about his vision to move our country forward. He did just the opposite. He is the divider in chief. He ends his first year in office as president of the United States with the lowest approval rating of any president in American history. And yesterday's press conference is exactly why. He had nothing of substance to say. He only tore down his political opponents, like me and you and anyone on the Republican side, all of your listeners, because we don't agree with his radical socialist agenda that he's pushing on behalf of this radical Democrat Party. So that's what we heard yesterday. There are so many parts of the speech to unpack and talk about, but overall, this president showed us yet once again why he is both incompetent and incapable of leading our country forward as the president of the United States.
As is typically the way he does, even when it's not in a real high-pressure situation like a press conference yesterday, but there are times when the president will be saying something and then all at once five or six words come out that are not connected to anything, and everybody in the room is kind of looking at each other going, okay, are we changing channels here or what's happened? That happened a couple of times yesterday.
Yeah, it did. And then there were parts where he like basically gave Russia permission to invade Ukraine. You remember all the Russian collusion stuff against Donald Trump, and it turns out all along that it's Joe Biden and the Democrats who have been colluding.
And his son.
And his son, Hunter, who took millions of dollars in interest in pro-Russian interests. So when President Biden was talking about this next upcoming election being illegitimate because he knows Republicans are going to win it. Remember all the stuff about the big lie that the Democrats talked about for the last year, and then here Joe Biden goes already delegitimizing the upcoming midterm election because he knows Republicans are going to win the majority by a landslide in the Congress. So some of this is really hard to wrap your head around unless you just get back to the basic fact that this president is completely empty in substance. He is putting America's interest last in every regard, and his record after 1 year in office is a dismal record that shows the American people just how bad if he's done us any favors, he's showed us in just 1 year how much of a failure the Democrat policies are and remind us why we need to turn back to Republican leadership as soon as we can.
He said one thing yesterday about, you know, because I'm always here, you know, stuck here at the White House and not getting out, not getting the free breeze of new ideas from people. What I need to do more is I need to get out. I need to get out and go to cities and to parks and to talk to people and to get their mind and to talk to them and let them know where I'm at. And at first I thought, okay, that will not work at all. And then I thought, shut up, Pat, let him do it. His staff had to be just running to get the Tums tablets for their indigestion because I can't imagine him out there roaming free.
Yeah, I think they were obviously worried about that as well. He spoke for, I think, over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Only his ninth press conference as president, which lags way behind every other president of our lifetime. I mean, Donald Trump was probably the most transparent president who faced the cameras and spoke to the media, and sometimes that didn't go so well for him, but he was always transparent and didn't shy away from the media, spoke in front of the cameras on a regular basis. This president has been completely in hiding, and all of his remarks, all of the few press conferences that he's had, they've all been scripted with pre-selected questions that he's chosen until yesterday, and now I think his handlers are obviously regretting that they let the president get up and speak for that long and speak that candidly, because they know he's a loose cannon. They know he fumbles all over the place. His own team in the White House knows that this president is incapable of communicating a clear message to the American people to bring us together and lead us forward.
Philip Wegman, who is, you know, Philip Wegman is a great reporter. He's here from, you know where I'm going, don't you? He's from here in Northeast Indiana, but he's always fair. He and I don't always agree on everything, and he's not afraid to tell me, and I'm not afraid to tell him. But I never doubt with Philip, he's done his homework. He knows what he's talking about. He knows where he's at. Well, he started asking the president, okay, so how do you think people are responding to some of the things that you've recently said, you know, where, you know, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not with, you know, this one, you're with that one, you know, and starting to paint. And in mid-sentence, the president's face changed. His voice went up a couple of notes. His intensity went up. And he basically accused Philip Wegman there of just trying to destroy the country because he would dare to ask the president a question about something he never said. Well, he did say it, Congressman. I went back and I read it three times this morning. He did say it.
Yeah, he didn't like Philip Wegman at all. And as you said, he's Philip Wegman from Northeast Indiana is quickly establishing himself as one of the most respected journalists in all of Washington, D.C., because he asked the tough questions. Philip Wegman was often in the room asking President Trump tough questions. This is, I think, one of the first chances he's had to actually get a question in front of President Biden. But he's well respected because he does his homework and asks the tough questions, the questions that the American people want to hear an answer to. Like, why are you calling all the Republicans who are fighting for election integrity reforms? Why does that make them racist? Why are you calling them incendiary names and comparing them to racist political figures of the past just because you don't agree with them? That divides America. It doesn't unite America. And President Biden didn't like that at all.
No, he did not. It was amazing how quick he changed his timber and his temper and all of it. And it was, as I watched, and you could just see it on Philip's face. I mean, Philip wasn't afraid of him, but on Philip's face, it was almost like he was saying, Mr. President, seriously, of all the things you could go ballistic about, this is the one you're choosing?
Well, but he knows Philip doesn't have CNN next to his name, MSNBC next to his name, so he probably quickly regretted calling on Philip Wegman to ask him a question.
Some of the people that are more affiliated with CNN and MSNBC are also not carrying the water for the president as they once did. I mean, I'm really amazed that when the president, who has talked about what a great big deal it is for voter rights, and of course he wanted to use Georgia as an explanation because he thinks that Georgia was unfairly run last time, and so he went down to give this speech, and Stacey Abrams wouldn't even come to his event. What does that tell you?
Yeah, the Democrats don't want to be anywhere near him because they know he drags down their numbers, and like I said a minute ago, a 33% approval rating at the end of his first year in office, that's the worst we've ever seen from any president. They talked about how the media and Democrats talked about how unpopular Donald Trump was. It was never that bad for Donald Trump, especially after the first year in office when President Trump was a very effective and aggressive agenda in the first year. And the American people are rejecting Joe Biden and these Democrats' leadership that, or lack thereof, over the last year, as they see crisis after crisis, inflation, the worst that it's been since Jimmy Carter was president, the Afghanistan debacle. The American people know that the world is less safe today because of Joe Biden's foreign policy than it was a year ago when he took office. Crime rising around the country because of the Democrats defund the police agenda, the border crisis. I don't know, Pat. I mean, I read the statistic this week. It made me sick that today fentanyl is the leading cause of death of Americans age 18 to 45. So, working age Americans are dying more than ever before because of fentanyl coming over the border because of the administration's open border policy. I mean, the American people get it. They see it, and that's why you saw this huge. The polling this week shows this huge shift, a 9% shift to people that didn't call themselves Republican before who now call themselves a Republican because of these disastrous policies that the Democrats and Joe Biden have brought about that is leading to the decline of America right in front of our face. So they're rejecting it. The silver lining, the good news, is we have an election coming up where we have a chance to save our country from the failed legacy and policies of Joe Biden.
You know, and also on top of all this, reporters questioning him on things he doesn't want to answer, some from his own party running from him, incredibly low numbers. And then you get two well-known senators from his own party, where you've got Sinema and, of course, Manchin. And now for the second time in as many weeks, they have gone and voted the same mindset as Republicans, which I don't think that they've really gone into it thinking, I'm not going to vote like a Republican. I need to go in and vote what's right for the people in my state. And that seems to be this position, which just happens to be inhabited mostly by Republicans. And I think the president is just going to come a little unglued as this keeps moving forward. And I think you're going to see a mass exodus from his staff shortly.
Yeah. Well, you're seeing a mass exodus of Democrats from Congress. We had two more Democrats announced they were retiring yesterday. So you're up to, I think, 29 Democrats in the House who have announced their retirements because they can't go along with it anymore. They can't defend it anymore. They know that either they're going to get beat in the midterm election, or they know it's going to be a really bad election for Democrats. They're going to go into the minority, and they're ready to get out of town. They've had enough.
Yeah.
So we haven't had that many retirements of Democrats in an election cycle since 1996. I mean, that's how bad things are getting for the Democrat Party, and the Republican Party on the other side is on the rise. And I'm excited about what this next election will mean. It's a message to Joe Biden and these Democrats, but I'm not sure Joe Biden's going to get the message.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm just wondering that when this next election happens, you know, you've got Democrats running, and they've got a president in the White House, and they've got a Speaker of the House from their party, and they can't rely on either one of them to get the story straight or to come forward with a policy that will resonate with the American people.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is the most unpopular political figure in America, and then you have a president of the same party who has the worst approval rating of any president after 1 year in office ever. So that's not a good sign for their party, but it also tells you they don't have leverage. They don't have the political capital the presidents usually have in their first year. Right after a president is elected is when they have the most political capital to go out and spend on getting their agenda through the process. And Joe Biden and these Democrats just don't have it. Even though they control the White House, the House, and the Senate, they can't get things done because they don't have the political capital to do it.
Let me give this to you from Adam Weiss, and then I'll let you respond as we close our time together. We're talking to 3rd District Congressman Jim Banks. From the very beginning of the first press conference of 2022, Joe Biden seemed feeble and unable to truly put together his thought process. He appeared not only weak, but also flustered, even by the easiest of questions. He immediately blamed the Republicans and had very little accountability. Unfortunately, this is what we have grown to expect from this administration. Even the liberal reporters seem to doubt his credibility. When President Trump held a press conference, it was like a gladiator sporting event. You could have sold it on pay-per-view. This conference was a snooze fest with no combative, tough questions. Is that a fair appraisal?
It's completely fair. And the biggest problem with all that, Pat, is that our enemies abroad, our biggest adversaries, China and Russia, they're watching this president. They know this commander-in-chief is weak. And they're seizing the moment. I mean, that's why you're going to see Russia invade Ukraine very soon. That's why you should watch what's going on in China after the Olympics. What do they do projected toward Taiwan? You see Iran rising again and acting out. You see North Korea firing off and testing intercontinental ballistic missiles. It's a bad recipe.
But Congressman, what if Russia doesn't really invade? What if it's just a nice, soft intrusion?
That's what Joe Biden invited them to do yesterday, and I'm telling you, these Putin and Xi and Kim Jong Un, they're watching Joe Biden's lack of judgment and ability in press conferences like these, and realizing that This is a moment that they can seize and take advantage of American weakness. And it's a lot different than when Donald Trump was in office a year ago.
Yeah, and I hate it that we're feeding into that and just almost handing certain things over to people. China, there's no reason they shouldn't go in now and just take Taiwan. There's no reason that Russia should not try to step into Ukraine. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible to me. And the American president is handing it to them on a platter. Makes me disgusted, actually. Congressman, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so very much, sir. Get ready for a good weekend and hang in there. We look for more from you next week.
Thank you, Pat. March for Life in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, one of my favorite events all year long. Looking forward to joining a lot of people from Northeast Indiana to make our voices heard for life.
We'll look for you on the tube. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Podcasts by Federated Media.